Welcome to the Bull Simons Op Center Podcast, where warriors share their stories about key events in military history. Arthur D. Bull Simons was a legendary Special Forces soldier who is famous for leading the Son Tay raid into North Vietnam in November 1970 to rescue American POWs. The Bull Simons Op Center is a program of the nonprofit Simons Center for Ethical Leadership and Interagency Cooperation on Fort Leavenworth, Kansas.
Hey, welcome to the first episode of the Bull Simons Op Center Podcast. My name is Joe Crane, Lieutenant Colonel, U.S. Marine Corps, retired. And I have here today Bob Ulin, Colonel, United States Army, retired. Bob, you're the co-founder of the Command General Staff College Foundation in Fort Leavenworth. Also, you're currently the founder and the current director of the Simons Center. So before we get to talk about Bull Simons and the Simons Center, give us a little bit of background on what your career was like in the Army.
Okay, thanks, Joe. I appreciate the opportunity. Well, actually, I joined the Army in 1959, right out of high school. 59. And I was enlisted for 6.5 years. But I think what's interesting is I was a private in Germany when the Berlin Wall went up. In fact, we got extended as a result of the Berlin crisis back in that period of time. So I was on active duty for 3 years, and then I got out and worked in the ballistic missile industry in California as a research and development electronics technician. I was on a launch crew that launched the very first weather satellite, everything we take for granted today, but it was the very first one. And then I got bored because I missed the Army, and so I joined the National Guard in California, got a commission through the Guard, and immediately volunteered to go to Vietnam, spent a couple tours in Vietnam, and then just sort of stayed on active duty for the rest of my career. At the end of my career, I was a colonel at NATO headquarters when the Berlin Wall came down. So I like to say that my entire career spanned the length of the Cold War.
That's probably not a lot of folks that were there when it went up and saw it come down at the same time. Talk a little bit about the Bull Simons Op Center. More importantly, give us a background for those that are not familiar who Bull Simons is.
All right. Well, Arthur D. Simons, Colonel Arthur D. Simons, was in the Special Forces, and he was kind of the legend in the Special Forces. They called him Bull because I guess in the training they had a pit that they would get into, and the idea was when you jumped into the pit, you had to throw the other guy out. Well, Bull Simons stayed in the pit, and he threw everybody out. So he got the nickname as Bull. But Bull Simons was in World War II. He was a, some say he was a mule skinner with the mountain artillery, light artillery. And then he was selected to do some special operations missions way before Special Forces was formed in World War II. And he's famous for leading the Son Tay raid. Operation Ivory Coast was a mission to go into North Vietnam to rescue prisoners of war. 61 American POWs were being held in a camp 23 miles west of Hanoi. This was in November 1970. Wow. And as you probably know, they got into the camp, but the prisoners had been moved a few days before. And so the mission was aborted and they came home. Bull Simons, retired from the Army, was living on a pig farm down in Florida. His wife had died. And in 1979, Ross Perot, who was then the president and CEO of EDS Corporation, hired Bull Simons in retirement to come to EDS headquarters in Plano, Texas. And he's Ross wanted Bull Simons to go into Tehran and rescue two employees who had been held captive by the Iranians and were in an Iranian prison. So he did that and ended up bringing these prisoners home.
Yeah.
And then shortly thereafter, I think it was 6 to 9 months thereafter, in his early 60s, Bull Simons died of a heart attack.
Mm. You know, but, they actually made a movie on that story. Most people probably never heard of the movie. Do you remember what the name of it is? I've seen it a long time ago.
Yes, the movie is On the Wings of Eagles.
Yes, yeah.
The book was written by Ken Follett. There was a book, and then subsequently there was a movie.
Yeah. And, you know, you got talking about Ross Perot, you really got to give him credit. He basically went out and grabbed Bull to lead the mission, but he also pulled people from within his own company, ex-military
guys. Yes, he did.
And he said, I'm going to fund it, and you guys are going to go over, and you're going to bring our people back. I mean,
I'll tell you, if you want to read an interesting book, Ken Follett, that's the only nonfiction book that he ever wrote, was about Ross Perot. On the Wings of Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
And it reads like a thriller. I mean, what these guys did, he commandeered aircraft, had a 707, brought it over, broke all kinds of laws in the process. But that's the way he was. He said, they're my employees. I put them there. I'm going to get them out.
Yeah. Yeah, phenomenal story. I haven't read the book, but I just stumbled across the movie one time years ago. And I was familiar with the story, and it was really something. So I'm sure there's a level of detail in the book that's just, it's probably incredible.
And the reason for that we use Bull Simon's name is because I was instrumental in getting Ross Perot to fund the Simon Center. In fact, I offered Mr. Perot to fund a center called the Center for Study of Interagency Operations. And that's another story in itself. Why did we have that? Ross decided that he wanted to do that, but he didn't want to put it in his name. He wanted to name it after Arthur D. Simons, Bull Simons. And so when he gave me $3.6 million, I said, I'll name it after anybody you want. So,
yeah. And so, the Bull Simons Center, the Op Center is there on Fort Leavenworth.
Yes.
Just down the street from where the Command General Staff College is.
Yeah, we're in the old Armed Forces Insurance Building, which is near the hospital on mm-hmm. Fort Leavenworth. And so we have a space that we lease from Armed Forces Insurance. I'd probably say it's about 1,800, 2,000 square feet that we have. And we've done some pretty amazing work in support of not only the Army, but we've even... in the area of interagency cooperation, we've even helped write legislation for staffers in the Congress.
Interesting. Across the gambit, what you guys are doing a lot of different things at the Simon Center since it started. What year were you able to? What year did the Simon Center start?
Okay. It was actually 2009. Let me go back a little bit. Mm-hmm. Why a Center for the Study of Interagency Cooperation? This goes back to 2003 and the march to Baghdad. The 5th United States Army Corps was moving up towards Baghdad. Lieutenant General Wallace was the Corps commander at the time. And when he came to Fort Leavenworth in about 2005, he said, one of the problems that we had in Baghdad, he said, all these other federal agencies would show up in our op center, the FBI and the DEA and the State Department, the CIA and all the various 3- and 4-letter agencies, out of Washington, D.C. And he said, it was a mess. We had difficulty coordinating with one another. We didn't use the same standard operating procedures and so on and so forth. And he said, we've got to fix this. And so General Wallace came to Fort Leavenworth to be our commandant of the Command General Staff College. He said, I want to put interagency cooperation into the curriculum so that we can understand what it's like to interact and operate with our other government partners. And so that was the reason for it. And when I was running the foundation back then as the CEO of the foundation, I went to the commandant, who was then Lieutenant General Bill Caldwell, and I said, I'm going to have an opportunity to talk to Mr. Perot. If he would be willing to support an interagency center for the study of interagency operations, is this something that you might be interested in? He said, absolutely. And so I said, okay. I put together a proposal, took it to Mr. Perot. He funded two things, actually. Ross, I built a relationship with Ross over a period of about 2.5 years. Mm-hmm. So I'd fly to New York, Washington, D.C., Plano, Texas, sometimes to be in the same room with him just to make contact. But I went to his office several times where we sat down and had nice, long conversations. He was a wonderful storyteller, had an incredibly interesting career. Mm-hmm. And it was just a fascinating individual to talk to. And that's the relationship building part of fundraising. You know, people give money to people that they know and trust, and building trust takes time.
Right.
And so I spent a lot of time with them. And then after 2.5 years, he said, I want to do something to help you guys. So how can I help? And so I came back to Fort Leavenworth, put together a proposal to develop a chair for the study of ethics. And the second one was a chair, an academic chair, you know, where we would hire an ethics professor to come in and teach some things at the college. Mm-hmm. And then I said, and we'd really like to get this Center for the Study of Interagency Operations started. And I gave him the background on that. And a week later, he called me and he said, I'd like to do both. And I was absolutely floored. That's $6.1 million that he gave us. $2.5 million for the academic chair. That's a permanent endowment. In other words, we'd never spend the money. We would invest it and spend the dividends and interest off of it to fund the program. And then he gave us $3.6 million over a five-year period. That would fund the initiation of the Simon Center. Now, that was five-year money, but the Simon Center has now operated for over 10 years, and we're in the process of reorganizing slightly to take advantage of the changes and some of the things that we're looking at, and we're reorganizing under the banner of the Arthur D. Simon Center for Ethical Leadership and Interagency Cooperation, because they're truly linked. Ethical leadership and doing any type of operation or business is really key to success.
Mm-hmm. And what are some of once the Simon Center was up and running, what were some of the initial things that you guys were able to do? And give us a rundown of some of the highlights that you've been able to accomplish in the last 10 years.
Well, I think the real key is we wanted to do research and scholarship in the area of interagency cooperation. Turns out that we're the only organization in the United States focusing on interagency cooperation. It's kind of interesting. At the top of the food chain, the National Security Council has what they call a deputies committee. And the deputies committee are deputies of various organizations in the federal government. And they're doing interagency stuff, but they're at the very highest level. But when the agencies actually start working together, that's where things get a little dicey, because people guard their information jealously, and information is power. And if you give too much away, then, you know, you lose the power. And so, there are these groups of silos, if you will, and they don't naturally want to communicate and share a lot of data.
Right.
So we started doing a lot of writing on it. Now, we have published a journal, Interagency Journal, and this has been going on for several years, and I think we have over 500 different articles. We've done special reports. We've sponsored ethics conferences, cybersecurity conferences, and everything that we talk about has an interagency element to it. In other words, there's more than one federal agency involved. Mm-hmm. So we'll do conferences, and then we'll do the proceedings of the conferences, and then we make pretty wide distribution and get this out. So we've got a pretty good following. We have a website that is really kind of a portal for interagency cooperation. So if you want to get to any federal agency, you come to the Simon Center. There's a list of all these federal agencies, and you can go directly to their sites.
Mm-hmm.
I spent a lot of time walking the halls of Congress. I was very close to Senator Lieberman when he was the chairman of the Homeland Security Committee, and he asked us to work with his staff, and they were writing some legislation on interagency, and he asked us to kind of grade his papers for him. He said, take a look. If I have my staff send the papers out there, would you guys comment on them? And so here we were sitting in Leavenworth, Kansas, in the old Armed Forces Insurance Building, and we're grading the papers of the staffers for the Homeland Security Committee in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, that's something else, and, really.
And so that's, it doesn't really make any difference where you are. If you've got good connectivity and good ideas and you can share those ideas, that was the key. And we did a lot of that over time. Interagency cooperation hasn't really lost its luster, but we're in changing times now. We're no longer deeply involved in direct combat. We still have interagency issues, but each particular administration has a different focus. And so we decided to kind of reorganize the foundation, the Simon Center, and then kind of make tweaks on the margins and also do things like this podcast and do some videos where we can share information about military subjects of interest, because we do support a military school, and to capture these stories, and also do interviews with VIPs and interesting people. We have a couple of ambassadors that sit on our board of trustees for the foundation, for instance. Mm-hmm. So we're tied into the diplomatic community.
Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about the center's relationship with the Command General Staff College?
Yeah, the foundation is a 501c3 nonprofit corporation, and our charter is to support exclusively the Command General Staff College. And so over the years, and we were officially designated a 501c3 in 2006. We actually incorporated in December of 2005, but didn't really get off the ground till 2006. And since that time, since 2006, we've provided over $9 million in support directly and indirectly to the Command General Staff College. And we do things that the government funding is, you're not allowed to use government funding for, or regulations don't permit you to use that kind of money. It's very restrictive on what you can use appropriated funds for. Mm-hmm. Let me give you an example. We pay for all the graduation awards. So all the awards that are given to the students over time for academic excellence and so on, the foundation pays for that.
That's awesome.
A few years ago, the college wanted most of its professors to be, to have a PhD. So we had a lot of military professionals that would retire. They had masters, sometimes multiple master's degrees. But then there was a push to get PhDs. Well, a lot of these guys, their GI Bill had run out. And so I sent, when I was a CEO, I sent one of the faculty members to China. He spent 2 weeks in China doing his primary research for his thesis.
Mm-hmm.
I sent officers over to the Imperial War College in London to do research. I sent a group of students over to the Ardennes battlefield to walk the ground for the Battle of the Bulge and kind of get the experience of it's one thing to read a book. It's another thing to be on the terrain and see how things are done. So we do a lot of stuff like that. We have a very active family program, children's reading program with the library. We bring in books, and I think last year, but not year before, not during the COVID year, we kind of slowed down during the COVID year.
Yeah,
but about 800 students and families a year come through some of those programs at the library.
Yeah.
And of course, we support the community at Fort Leavenworth to a degree. So we're a resource for the community.
Awesome. Can you, hierarchy-wise, can you explain how the relationship works between with the Simon Center and the academic chair and the CGSC Foundation?
Right. Well, the CGSC Foundation is the 501c3. Mm-hmm. The Simon Center is a program of the foundation. It's a program. So the Simon Center is not a separate 501c3. We do raise money, but the money has to go through the foundation for the 501c3 status. So that's how that works.
Okay, great.
So we have an outreach. One of our missions is outreach. Help tell the Army story, tell the college's story. And so we have national security forums. In fact, we're going to San Antonio, we're going to Des Moines, and we travel around to various cities with very interesting topics. The big topic that we're talking about now is there's a lot of interesting research on human trafficking, which is a serious problem. And we've got some scholars and researchers that have done some amazing work with other agencies of the federal government, Border Patrol, the DEA, and various other things. And we then take that unclassified portion of that research, and then we'll just take it on the road, talk to people about it. And also to represent, we don't represent the college, we represent the foundation, but the funds that we generate support the college.
Okay, great. So Bob, this is the first episode of the Bull Simons Ops Center podcast. We're going to be coming out with some more here in the near future. What are some of the things that we can expect to see here in the podcast?
Well, what I want to do with Bull Simons, he was a warrior. And so being able to have first-person accounts of interesting things that have happened. For instance, there's a young man by the name of Terry Buckler, who was the youngest member of the Sante Raid. I mean, he knew Bull Simons, and he lives locally. And so I would ask Terry to come on. A friend of mine, Bill Eckhart, a retired Army Colonel Jag, was the prosecutor of Captain Medina, the My Lai massacre from Vietnam. And I have some other friends that some of the Vietnam stories are interesting, and we've got to get those stories now because that generation is getting older. I'm of that generation,
right,
and I'm almost 80 years old. And so we've got to get those stories told while people are still lucid and memories are still sharp. And then we have a young fellow here that I think he's out of the Army as a major, and he led, the Special Forces A team in 2001 into northern Afghanistan, the horse soldiers, if you'll remember,
right,
where the Special Forces were riding horses and they're up there chasing the bad guys up in northern Afghanistan. Well, he lives locally. So there's a lot of these interesting people that live in our community, and their stories need to be told. And then we'll transition into more modern stories. I was talking to a friend of mine the other day. Is a number of us have a lot of interesting experiences with the end of the Cold War, mm-hmm, when the Soviets were leaving Eastern Europe, and how we interacted with those various countries over there to help them transition to democracy. That's a very interesting set of circumstances and a part of our history that needs to be told.
Absolutely. Yeah, well, we definitely look forward to capturing those historical stories. I mean, those are classics, and a lot of them haven't ever, a lot of these folks may not have written books or ever really gotten it down on paper or an audio or in this case even video history. So, really look forward to doing that. So we're about at it. We're about to end of our time. Okay. Do you want to give you the last word What else can we end this episode with? And then the next few episodes rolling out will be some of those phenomenal military stories.
Well, first of all, I want to thank you, Joe, for taking the time to do this. I've known you for a number of years. You've been enormously successful with your Veteran on the Move podcast, which is very well attended. How many episodes do you have now?
I've finished 378 interviews over the last almost 7 years now.
So you just about got this figured out then, don't you?
Yes. And we actually met at CGSC. I was one of the Marines on staff there at CGSC. Yeah. And I still remember Colonel Mike McCoy sending me down to talk to you because he recommended, he had a lot of good things to say about you. And that was the beginning of our relationship. And we've done some great things together over the years, even after we both retired. So it's been a pleasure knowing you and glad we can do something like this together.
No, this, I really look forward to this. Again, these are stories that need to be told. We're entering a new chapter with the Simon Center. We're kind of reinventing ourselves. As times change, organizations change to adapt to the environment. And so I very much appreciate what you've done to help us on this new path.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we look forward to, stay tuned, and we'll have future episodes coming out here in the very near future. Looking forward to it.
Thanks, Joe. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to the Bull Simons Ops Center podcast. The Simon Center is a program of the Command and General Staff College Foundation, a nonprofit that supports scholarship, outreach, and soldier and family support on Fort Leavenworth, Kansas. We operate entirely on the generosity of our donors. To support the Bull Simons Ops Center, go to thesimoncenter.org and click on the donate button. We welcome support at any level.